Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Turn to Mark chapter 5, the leather-bound version of the Truth Study Edition is here this morning, and only this morning. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. Verse 24, a large crowd followed and were pushing and shoving from all sides out of a desire to be near Jesus. Among them was a woman who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years. She had spent all her money on doctors to try to alleviate her suffering, but all to no avail. The problem had only become worse. Having heard about Jesus, she pushed her way through the crowd, came up behind him and touched his clothing because she thought, "To touch his clothes will be enough. I will then be healed." Sure enough, as soon as she touched him, the bleeding stopped, and she knew that her body was healed and her suffering ended. When she touched him, Jesus knew that power had flowed out of him. He turned around and asked those nearest in the crowd, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said, "You can see how many are pushing and shoving to be near you. Why do you ask such a question? So many are trying to touch you." Jesus would not be deterred, but kept looking around to see who had touched him, not just physically, but with faith. The woman, knowing that she had been healed, came forward and fell on her knees before Jesus, afraid that he would be displeased. She told him truthfully what she had done and why. Jesus was not angry or upset, far from it, for he said to her, "My daughter, you are healed because you showed such faith. You can go in peace and remain free, for your days of suffering are over." We want to really get into this event this morning. I want you to try to imagine the situation that this woman had been in for 12 years. Now, she'd had this very debilitating physical infirmity. She would have felt unwell. She would have been drained of energy. Life at that level would have been a struggle. But more than that, in the society of her day, anybody with such a disease was considered to be ritually unclean and therefore was not to have any social contact with other people. So she'd felt socially isolated also by this condition. Anybody who touched a woman with this kind of infirmity was also considered to be ritually unclean and would have to go through a process of purification. Which is why to push through a crowd of people would have been totally unthinkable. Because she would have been forcing other people to touch her to make them unclean. The penalty for doing that would be that she would be excommunicated, which means that she would be cut off from her people, not just socially because of the disease, but spiritually as well. It was tantamount to saying to a Jew at that time, "You will have no salvation and you will go to hell." Now, that's the situation this woman was in. And for 12 years, you can imagine, every day, her focus was on her need, her condition, both physically, socially, emotionally, and all the other ways in which this had impacted her at a personal level. 12 years is a long time. That's thousands of days to feel trapped. She'd done everything possible to try to be healed. She'd spent all the money that she had on doctors, and the situation only got worse. She was desperate. Then something occurred to her. In a sense, she must have received a revelation. Jesus, if I can just touch Jesus, not even him, just his clothes. She probably grabbed hold of the tassel that would have hung from Jesus' robe, which was a symbol of the authority of the word. In other words, after 12 years, instead of her healing need, instead of all the negative impact that that had on her life, instead of her circumstances, Jesus became her focus. So much so that she didn't mind, didn't probably even stop to consider what the impact of pushing through that crowd would mean. What it could mean for her spiritually if she was excommunicated. What it would mean for all the other people that she touched and, as it was believed then, defiled. All that mattered was getting to Jesus. It's Saturday evening. Another faith camp is about to begin. There's a great crowd of people. What can you see? Jesus said that he only did what he saw his Father doing. Here's a great crowd of people. Among them will be people that have been sick for 12 years and a lot longer. Their need to be healed would have been the substance of their prayer every day during that period of time. They would have gone through periods of hopelessness, of desperation, of renewed faith, of disappointment and despair. Perhaps some will come to camp thinking, it's now or never. If I don't get healed now, I've had it. And that may literally be true physically for some. It is the case every year. There will be those who, like this woman, feel just totally socially isolated, unclean. This was a disease that was considered to be unclean, to make the person unclean and anybody who touched her unclean. How many of those thousands of people next Saturday evening will come to camp feeling unclean? Unclean physically, unclean spiritually, unclean hearts, unclean desires. How many will have been involved in doing unclean things on the internet, reading wrong kind of material, just having wrong desires that come out of a wrong heart. Many of them feeling ashamed because in some way or another they belong to some kind of Christian community, some form of church. Their hidden, secret shame. And no doubt they'll have looked at themselves again and again and prayed to be set free from these things that seem to have had such a grip on their lives. They have asked for forgiveness many, many times and received it every time, but still the need had not been dealt with. So the frustration, the sense of failure, the sense of uncleanness goes on. They're there in the crowd, desperate internally. We could go on and on, because when there's many thousands of people, there's going to be a great variety of need. But what do we see? What do we see on that first night? Just an opening meeting? Just making everybody feel sort of comfortable and at home in what for some of them will be a totally different environment than anything they've known before? What's Jesus' plan for Saturday night? As during these last weeks I've been able to be apart with the Lord and just to focus on what He wants to do at camp this year, He has shown me many things. And I didn't particularly want to bring you this message this morning, but just seeing the presentation that we have of what's going on in South Africa was just like a confirmation. God really wants to get to the heart of things. What do we see Him doing? I see what God has shown me, and I felt as I was preparing for this morning, He's saying that I'm to share this with you because all of us are going to be there in faith, standing for all these people, that they're going to be liberated and set free by the hundreds or even the thousands on the first night. This is not going to be something that we're gradually build up to during the course of the camp. But right from the first meeting, there is going to be such an explosive move of God's Spirit among His people that people are literally going to be completely liberated and set free immediately. Why? Because all the focus is going to be on Jesus. And I believe that what God will do is to put into people's hearts a hunger to meet with Jesus. Just touch him and I will be healed. If you touch him, he touches you. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have already been made clean by the words I've spoken to you. I see people not just touching. I see them pressing through the crowd. I see people coming forward because they're no longer worried about the crowd, what others will think, what people that they came with to the camp will think. There will just be that, I must touch Jesus." Now, not just that Jesus is up the front, but it's, you know, when people make movement like that in a meeting, it expresses something that is going on in their hearts. And many of them will touch him and they will be set free. And God will speak a word that will set people clean, make them clean. Not just to forgive them, but to purify their hearts. To bring about the transformation within them that is needed. And the reason why this is going to happen is not because people come forward to get healed. But they come forward to meet Jesus. It's not that they get so desperate about the secret hidden things that go on in their hearts and minds that have concerned them, but they just have a renewed desire for Jesus. And if you can see with the eyes of your spirit this happening in the first meeting, you can imagine what a tremendous week it's going to be. And some of you may not be able to be there at that meeting, but you can be there on the streaming. Because this is Kingdom Faith Church Family Camp. And all of us need to be united in faith, whether we're there or whether we're unable to be there. But we're believing right from that first meeting, Lord, people are going to touch you. And you are going to create such a hunger in people. I'm rejoicing because, you know, we've had so much word. And we need the word, always need the word. But we need the action to go with the word. And I believe that we're going to see many demonstrable works of God's grace. But I want you to understand that we're not going there with the focus to be on healing, but for the focus to be on Jesus. And as people meet with Jesus, so they get healed, they get delivered, they get set free, they'll get a new kind of vision for their life, a new impetus to go back and focus on Jesus in their churches. And as they focus on Jesus in the churches, so the whole thing is going to be reproduced in those churches. It is all about Jesus, isn't it? And we say that, but if we say that, then what we do has got to be all about Jesus. Not to say that and then get sort of sidetracked onto other things. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you weary, tired ones, all those of you who feel overburdened, can't cope." He didn't say, "Come and have some ministry." He didn't say, "Come and get healing or get some kind of comfort." He said, "Just come to me. That's all you got to do. Just come to me. Just come to Jesus. Just touch Jesus. Just know that he is always available." Now, of course, you always get the clever ones who think, I don't need to touch Jesus. I'm living in Jesus and Jesus is living in me. I'm with Jesus all the time. Hallelujah. You'll get those. And they'll be left in their needs, many of them, if they don't change their attitude. Because it's true, I live in Christ, you live in Christ, Christ lives in us, the Spirit of God is living in us even now. But what does the Spirit within us want us to do? To touch Jesus. Because Jesus said that the Spirit will reveal Jesus to us. And Jesus says that He will reveal the Father to us. And when you have something new of God revealed, you want to touch Him. It isn't going to be a question of lining people up and having a whole bevy of people come and lay hands on them and lay them all out on the floor. No, it's not we that are going to touch them. They're going to touch Jesus. I've seen many wonderful moves of God like this in past years, but this is 2010 and what God is going to do this year. And He's going to do it in the way that He wants to do it this year. And of course, I'm talking about the main meeting because that's where I'm personally going to be involved on Saturday, but I can see what I'm talking about happening all over the camp. I can see it happening at the move. First night. Karen's going to be preaching the first night. She's walking on water for camp. It's going to be a real challenge for her, but you know, the great thing is, the more you expect, the more God will do. It's going to be like this in the move. It's going to be like this all the other groups, Gojen and so on. Why? Because the same Lord is going to be doing the same things all over camp. And of course, this isn't confined to camp. Those of you that can't come don't have to sit there feeling I'm being left out. You can touch Jesus. You can touch Him today. You can touch Him tomorrow. You've got all week just to get fired up, ready for camp. I'm talking about what God's going to do for all those souls that are coming. And our part is to have God's love for them, His compassion, His mercy, even now, even this morning, even all through this week. You see, God is giving us this vision, even for the first meeting, so we can pray it into being. So we can believe what He said, so that we can rejoice and give thanks, so that we can pray, even if we don't know them by name. We can pray for those people in all these kind of desperate situations that are coming. And we can rejoice and give thanks that they're going to go away completely liberated, not from the need, but liberated because they have a new relationship with Jesus, because they've learned how to touch Him, not just in their need, but to go on touching Him day by day by day throughout the whole week, so that it becomes a way of life. Prayer ceases to be a duty and a touching of Jesus every day. I think it's exciting. It teaches us just one other thing. That it doesn't matter how big the crowd, Jesus never loses sight of the individual. His love is so personal for each one. Now we've got a bit of a crowd here this morning. Not as big a crowd as there'll be at camp, but this would constitute a crowd if we were all walking along the road with Jesus. Do you need to throw off all your inhibitions and self-consciousness? All the things that have held you back? And just press through the crowd this morning and come and touch Jesus. Do you believe that He can speak to you the word that will set you free, that will clean you? Sin, sickness, whatever. That we don't have to wait to a Saturday evening. But all week we can be praying with such faith and expectation because we know God has started something already, initiated something fresh in our own hearts and lives. You don't have the privilege and the responsibility, which is all bound up together, of standing on the platform at camp or even standing on this platform and looking around here and just seeing this vast sea of people, knowing that there are all kinds of hidden needs. But knowing that the answer to the need is not to focus on the need. To know that that's what most people have been doing. The more they've focused on the need, the worse the need has got. And just to be liberated, you just want them to see, to understand. Jesus is the answer. And it's not getting preoccupied with your need, your situation, your circumstances, being angry, bitter, resentful about what has happened to you or been allowed to happen to you, however you perceive it, but knowing that you can respond to the call of Jesus, come to me. That you can be like that woman, you can press through the crowd, irrespective of whatever the implications of doing that could be socially, because you want to touch Him. And you see, that means you don't come and say, Lord, I want to be healed. Or, Lord, I want this need that I prayed about so often to be met in my life. You press through and you just say, Lord, I want You. I just want a fresh revelation of You. I just come with a fresh surrender of my heart and life to You. What is this? It's seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then He promises everything else will be added. We try to get the everything added without the kingdom first, without putting Jesus at the center. You see, I'm sure as she pressed through that throng, the woman forgot all about her need. Her total focus was on getting to Jesus. Her total focus was touching Him. And the rest followed. Can we be in faith together for what God is going to do next Saturday evening? Can we be in faith for what He'll do now? Let's all stand. Now, if God's spoken to you, you can just press through the crowd. Come and stand in the front here. Nobody's going to pray for you, but you just know God's spoken to you. You might never have known Jesus. You might have been brought with a friend. You say, I don't even know Him. Never given my life to Him. Well, press through the crowd. Come forward. He's able to reveal himself to you. He's able to. You don't have to stand in rows. Nobody's going to come and pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, first of all, we just ask you to forgive us for getting so preoccupied with ourselves, with our needs, our problems. For some of us, our sicknesses. And actually, we realized this morning that we put them first instead of putting you first. And we just lay all those things to side now. Lord, I can't speak for any of these folks that have come forward, but I can only say, Lord, I want to touch you in a fresh way, day every day now, leading up to camp and through camp and beyond. I want to touch you, Lord. And I want to know you touching me. That fresh release of your life, of your love, of your power, of your mercy, of your grace, of all that you are gets released in my heart and life so that you can be glorified. Lord, this is what I want. I want you to be glorified in me much more than ever in the past. I want you to do whatever you want to do, Lord. So whatever you have planned, whatever you have purposed, whatever is yet to be done, you will do. Oh, I thank you for your love, Lord. I thank you that on that cross you made yourself available. Yes, Lord, you exposed yourself. You made yourself vulnerable so that you could be available to me. I could come and touch you as my Lord, my Savior, whenever I choose. I can just draw from you the life, the love, the power, the grace, the mercy that I need. Thank you, Lord, that you never say no to me when I come. Thank you, Lord, that when my desire is just to touch you for your glory, to see you made manifest in my life, that you are more than ready. You are always eager, more ready to give than I am to receive. I thank you, Lord. Now, as we stand in the Lord's presence, I believe he's saying, I'm touching you now with what you need first and foremost. I'm touching you with my love for people, with my compassion for them. I want you to have my compassion for all those who will come to camp. My compassion for those that will come desperate, those who will come feeling unclean, those who will be feeling failures, those who are desperate because of their condition, whether physically, emotionally, or whatever. Just believe the Lord saying he's touching hearts, he's purifying hearts right now. Not just forgiving sin, but purifying your heart. So your desires change. You know you do what you desire to do. You realize that? And some things, you know, they don't seem to be some very wrong in themselves, but they're not really what God wants. I just believe God is saying he's touching hearts now, purifying hearts, so that you really want what he wants. You really want what is his best for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, as we touch Jesus now, we ask that you touch our hearts afresh with that love, with that mercy, with that compassion. Even during the course of this week, as we go about our business, as we walk through the town, go to the shops or whatever, we'll just sense a new love and compassion for people that we see that we don't even know. That instead of looking around, perhaps being critical of what we see, or the way some people behave, just feeling your heart, just knowing that compassion that sent you to the cross for every one of them. Thank you that you died for every individual that we will see this week. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't wait until they were worthy of your sacrifice for them, because that could never be the case, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Thank you, Lord, for your light shining into our hearts in a fresh way. Thank you that our light is going to shine before men this week, that they will see our good works and give glory to you in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that as we give, you will give back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But Lord, we just want to be focused on you and just doing what you want us to do and being what you want us to be and just being in the place where we can really honor and serve you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we thank you that as that woman touched you, power went out of you. And we believe that the power of your Spirit has gone out from you, from heaven this morning, and is being released afresh in us. And we just give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Whether we're here in the front, whether we're in our places, wherever we are in this room, we thank you, Lord, that your power wants to flow through our lives now, wants to flow out of us, that your purposes can only be fulfilled where your power is at work. Thank you, Lord, that we are ambassadors of your love, but ambassadors also of your power. And we just give you all the glory, Lord. Just open your heart and praise him now. Just thank him for what he's doing. Thank him for what he's working in you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Tora satapa kara sitari satu. Baratapari eletu bakara sitari sandu. Balatapari eletu bakara sitari sandu. Balatapari eletu bakara sitari sandu. And you know, we put the needs to one side and we focus on Jesus. But even when we do that, he reminds us of what he cried out on the cross. It is done. It is finished. Can those of you who come forward just look at me for a moment? Because I want to just say to you in his name, it is done. It is done. You don't have to focus on the need. Just keep focused on Jesus and it is done. And you will see that it is done. He has finished already. He's completed already whatever he needed to do in order to meet that need in your life. It is done. Hallelujah. And this morning, something is getting released into your life because it is done. Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank the Lord. It is done. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Won't it be good on that first night of camp when so many needs we've got out the way so people can just focus on the Lord? Hallelujah. Anybody happy?
Okay. Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.